Isaiah 49 from verse 14. I think here we have a picture of the exiles in Babylon or Persia, and they're complaining that God is distant from them. And yet Isaiah, the latter part of Isaiah, is full of prophecies of the restoration that could have happened. It didn't happen because they precluded it. They didn't actually want it, but they come up with various excuses, effectively excuses as to why they can't be in the kingdom. Zion said, verse 14, Yahweh has forsaken me and the Lord has forgotten me. The King James says, my Lord has forgotten me, referring to Yahweh as their husband. He's forgotten me. Well, as Jeremiah said, you have forgotten me. It's not that I forgot you, you forgot me. And this is why in verse 15, God says, can a woman forget her nursing child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? These may forget, that is, you may forget me, yet I will not forget you. So the problem is that because they had forgotten God, they sort of reworked it in their own mind to say, well, God's forgotten me. It's like, oh, well, I feel that God's very distant from me. I feel he's really far off. Well, that's because you are far off from him. And it's the same with this idea of God turning away his face. Well, they turn their face away from him. So very often we can do this in our low moments when we feel that God is distant or somehow far off. And where are you? You haven't come through for me. Whatever, you seem very distant, God. Yeah, it's actually you who are distant. Well, the 70 years prophecy of Jeremiah appeared to not be coming true. But in fact, as Daniel has explained in Daniel 9, it has been rescheduled or recalculated. The simple reason why the restoration didn't happen at the end of the 70 years is that they had not returned to God. Because the Hebrew word for repent and return are the same. And the idea is, you repent and I will return you. That was the idea. But they didn't. And in fact, when God almost forces through his program with them and Cyrus makes his decree and says, look, you can go back and I encourage you and I will give you all the resources you need, very, very few of them did return. And so God says, verse 16, look, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And I think the idea may be the lines that are graven on a man's palm with which he was born. As if God is saying, look, right from the beginning, you are an intimate, unique part of me. Your walls, he says, are continually before me. Well, the walls of Zion were broken down, as we know from Ezra and Nehemiah. And yet God says, they are continually before me. I'm continually thinking about the broken down state of my people. Now, finally, how are God's people engraved, as it were, on the palms of his hands? Well, you remember how the Lord Jesus showed to Thomas the marks in his hands and his feet where he had been crucified. Although he had been resurrected from the dead and stood there in the power of an endless life with a changed nature, he still had those marks. And in Revelation 5, John sees a vision of a lamb that looked as if it had just been slain. And this lamb is returning to the earth in judgment. And people are facing the wrath of the Lamb. But the Lamb has got the signs of having been slain. So I wonder if in some form there will be this eternal sort of mark, as it were, on the Lord Jesus. Some sort of sign that, yes, I did die for you, that all this eternity you're now enjoying was because I hung on a cross on a day in April, on a Friday afternoon, on a stake, on a piece of wood, on a tree trunk, on a hill just outside Jerusalem, when none of you wanted me. That would be absolutely appropriate. And so when you break bread and you remember what he did, actually we are doing something that we're going to eternally be doing in its essence, and that is remembering him, that he did this, that we have eternity because of him there. Those moments when he died, and indeed his whole 33 and a half years of brief life on this earth, were so intense, were so freighted with utterly and literally eternal significance. No wonder his sweat was as great drops of blood dropping to the ground in Gethsemane as he wrestled and came to the very brink of all that was made possible somehow not being possible because of the strength of the flesh. But, and this is the great relief, he overcame, even though I would not have done, yet he did. And so God is saying, back to the argument here, that I am not far off from you. You are engraved on the palms of my hands. You think I forgot you? Of course I don't forget you. I have compassion on you. You are my child. And I have that compassion that a parent has to a child. You may forget me, but I will not forget you. And so this compassion, however, was to be shown really only when Israel repented. It's the same word in Deuteronomy 30, verse 3, and several times earlier in Isaiah. If you repent and return to me, I will show compassion upon you. But they had not repented, and yet God says, I will still show compassion upon you, because you are my child. And God likens himself here to a woman. You see how he's not at all against women. He says, you know, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? And so I will not forget you. So even though the compassion promised was contingent upon their repentance, he still showed it to them. And that is exactly the sort of grace, the sort of setting a condition but then not abiding by it, which is typical of parental love for their children. And so the proof of that, he says, is, look, I've got you on the palms of my hands. And that in our context is articulated through the Son of God, through whom God is manifested, who has the marks on the palms of his hands, literally, of his love for us. So one message of the cross, one takeaway, if you like, from thinking about the Lord Jesus with those marks on his hands in heaven, is that you are not forgotten. You are the focus of his constant and compassionate attention. And any sense we have that God is distant, it is our distance from him. It is we who have moved and not him.